Welcome to Women on the Line, one of Community Radio's National Women's Current Affairs programs, produced at 3CR Radio in Melbourne and broadcast nationally on the Community Radio Network. I'm your host, Hope Matumbu. Women on the Line acknowledges this program is produced and presented on the sovereign lands of the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation. We acknowledge elders past, present, and becoming, as well as the owners of the land you are hearing us from. Left Right Hook is a multimodal creative arts workshop series designed to help women who have experienced sexual abuse and trauma find a connection to their body, mind, and spirit through weekly transformative writing and boxing workshops. In this show, we speak with Donna Lyon, an academic, writer, and boxer, about her project. We also speak with Misha Mertz, boxer, writer, and owner of Misha's Boxing Central. First up, let's hear from the creator of Left Right Hook, Donna.
Hello, my name is Donna Lyon and I am an academic, filmmaker and a boxer. In 2019, I started running a grassroots project where I was combining writing and with boxing. And I was doing it for survivors of child sexual abuse and trauma. And the project, I guess, came from my experiences as a survivor and using two modalities which I found really helpful to start to express and give narration to my story and my past. And they were two contrasting things. And I thought, what would it mean to get a bunch of women in a room where we used a stimulus and we kind of basically wrote about our trauma in kind of creative ways and then actually physicalized that to give expression to that pain. And so the workshop, which I ran twice, was really successful and quite intimate and confronting, but I was really wanting to take that further. And because I'm an academic at the University of Melbourne, there was a creativity and research wellbeing initiative that came up, and I applied for a small grant and received that. And that was basically to kind of do that workshop, measure the impact, but also create a documentary around it. So it's taking it to a whole different level because it means, you know, really women are going to be in a very vulnerable and intimate space, but also having a forum to express and tell their stories, hopefully to help other survivors.
Yeah. And that project that you're talking about is called Left Right Hook. Can you tell us a bit about how long you expect for it to go and what stage you're in now?
Yeah, so this is seed funding. So this will be the first time that we run the project in terms of being able to measure it from a kind of psychometric and health and well-being point of view. And it's the first time that we're introducing cameras into the experience. So the workshop itself runs for 8 weeks and we meet Saturdays from 2 o'clock to 4 o'clock. So the first hour is we spend writing and setting the framework for the, you know, the workshop and the experience. And then the second hour is basically we kind of box it out. And that's non-contact boxing, and it's an idea of people kind of being able to get into their body and, as I said, express some of that pain. And then we might do some interviews around it. And so I'd like it to be an ongoing thing and a commitment so that we essentially kind of see what's the story, you know, is this something that we can develop into a feature-length documentary and get it out there to a public that might be interested in hearing these stories.
Mm. And when do you expect those workshops to start?
They're going to start at the end of February, and so it will go for 8 weeks.
Okay, wonderful. And you yourself are a boxer and a creative as well as an academic. Can you talk to us more about, you know, I guess maybe your thoughts on the relationship between boxing and writing and how that contributes to a sense of healing?
Yeah, well, I'll start with boxing first. And, you know, I'd always been quite physically, you know, fit and active. And I think that's been a really great, you know, healing and recovery mode for me, particularly as I was so dissociated and disconnected from my body due to the trauma. So I started boxing because actually I felt a lot of anger. And I wanted a really safe way, an expressive way to kind of punch something, you know, to express it. But what I realized when I started boxing was that it was actually a lot more than anger. It was about starting to focus on my breath it was starting to, you know, interact with people in the space that I was within. It was about blocking and weaving and starting to actually get into my body, which is the stuff that I was kind of really quite afraid of. Mm-hmm. So what I kind of thought was this almost violent release actually was a sense of mindfulness. Mm-hmm. And just a different type of practice. So I began a journey and I started fighting and doing like master's boxing, and that was a really, again, a really interesting thing for me because I started to set myself goals and work towards achieving that. And, you know, I wasn't particularly successful in my little fighting career. And in fact, it was sometimes really triggering to me because what would happen is that I'd get into the ring and I would start to dissociate or freeze. And when you're kind of in a situation where you're getting punched in the face, that's not a good idea. You do need to move, and there is a reason for that, so you don't get hit. So I think for me, what it did was it started to, again, show me my experience of my trauma because I was so disconnected from it. And I kind of needed to put myself in and through these situations to start to, connect with the past. That's not necessarily a journey that everybody wants to or should take, and there's lots of other ways that people can do that, but that for me was just something that kind of, I guess, had piqued my interest. I liked very physical, active and high impact sports. And I think for me as a woman, you know, I just had to work through so much stuff to feel safe enough to even be able to punch somebody. You know, it was so counterintuitive to the way that I had been conditioned and programmed. And that was very much to be more submissive and to be, in a sense, the kind of victim. And that I didn't really even feel like I had a right to fight, to punch. And so often meeting other women who were perhaps more aggressive than me in a ring was really confronting because I was scared by them. I wasn't used to seeing other women like that, and I wasn't necessarily used to tapping into those things within me. Although I could, like people would often say to me, oh, you know, you can be kind of scary because I can have this very confident, quite dominating stance. It became a really different thing once I was in a ring, which was this kind of very masculine, defined space. So I think it's just healthy for women to be able to start to flirt with the idea that we are allowed to, you know, to kind of be forthright in the way that we take action. So at the same time, I was also doing a lot of journal writing you know, writing that connected to just unconscious thoughts and memories. And I was finding that that was quite a safe and creative way to start to access hidden and repressed things from my past. And so, again, it was just, I think, coming from an artistic background and, you know, as a filmmaker and as an artist, I wanted to just do something that was really multimodal. And, you know, it was, they're totally not related. They're, you know, one's very mental and one's very physical. But I think that as a survivor, it's really important to address all aspects of your kind of mind, body and spirit. Mm-hmm. And that's what I was kind of interested in with the workshop.
Women on the Line.
And just on your point, I mean, for anyone who's listening, even though this is the first time we've ever met, we actually go to the same boxing gym, Misha's Boxing Central. And I've never been brave enough to do any of that sparring. So I've never been in a situation where, you know, I've sparred with someone actually getting hit in the face. But what you're saying really resonates with me in terms of, you know, sometimes you go into boxing thinking it will be just that release, that rage, but there's a lot of thinking you have to do, anticipating like the ducking and weaving and anticipating the next move. And it's something that I never really thought about. And really, when you do good punches or, you know, like they actually come out, you're actually not tensing yourself, you're not tensing your shoulders, and the breathing is a really important thing. I forget to breathe all the time.
Totally.
Yeah.
And that's right. And even for me, like I know I'm still really tense and I find it really difficult to relax. backs. And so, you know, my kind of focus is to, in order to punch more effectively, is to kind of relax my body. That's so counterintuitive to actually how I hold myself. And so it's really great practice for me to kind of train in that way. I do want to make it clear, though, like within Left Right Hook workshop, we're not sparring. You know, it's non-contact boxing. So I don't want anyone to feel as though, you know, they're going to put themselves through perhaps what I did. You know, that's a really different kind of experience. This is, you know, again, exactly what you talk about, where it's, you know, you're coming in and you are punching bags, or you may be holding pads for someone, but you're learning how to do the technique properly, because that's the stuff that's going to drive the physicalization in a more effective way.
And the holding pads, like you're saying, even holding pads and remembering routines, I feel like it's quickened my mind. And, you know, I love the quickness of my mind. I can remember things a lot easier because of holding pads for someone, not necessarily even punching. And so that's something that I found useful anyway, in terms of that quickness. And I, as someone who, you know, also loves writing, sometimes people, you know, there's that thing where they're like, it's the pen is mightier than the sword, but sometimes for words to come out, sometimes you need a little bit of exercise and a little bit of, you know, there's a sort of meditation that comes from exercise, whether it's boxing or something else. And sometimes you can sort of get home and be like, okay, I'm ready to use the pen now after you've wielded the sword for a bit. I mean, not against someone, but you know what I mean?
No, absolutely. Yeah. And it's funny because even though I think the exercise can help to generate writing, what we've chosen to do is put the writing up first and then the boxing. And that was just simply because the boxing can sometimes make you a little shaky with your hands, and so it can be quite hard to write after that in a group setting. But also too, that I think I wanted to use what was there unconsciously in terms of the hidden emotion, you know, to then come out in a physical way. But it is also interesting to think about, well, what would it mean to flip that? And so, again, I'm kind of really open to always exploring different things with the women in the group. And we have done that.
But because I guess the good thing about this project, you can meet week after week. So even after they've done the boxing, they may go home and think about something they wrote and maybe, you know, have a further thoughts to that, or be able to extrapolate more on thoughts in the next writing series.
Definitely. Yeah. And, you know, we have set up a Facebook group for Left Right Hook. And so the women that did the grassroots project last year, you know, we continue to do that. We continue to write as our practice. And you do see a lot of growth and development. And also, you know, I think it's not about coming to the workshop and being a great boxer. And it's not about being a great writer. I'm not really interested in putting a value judgment around any of that. Some people will naturally be fitter and perhaps better at boxing than others. You know, we have people that come to the workshop that actually are published writers, but are so disconnected from their bodies and quite kind of almost uncoordinated in some respects. So I think, but importantly, it's just about giving voice and expression to our stuff in a really safe way, in a safe forum.
And in terms of the academic side of this, what's going to happen, and how do you see that being translated?
We've got a really awesome team. So we have Dr. Candice Blake, and she is an expert in gender psychology and gendered conflict. Dr. Margaret Osborne, who specialises in performance science and psychology, and Shannon Owen, who is the director. So basically we will be looking at how the written and verbal and embodied creativity is going to enhance the well-being of survivors from, you know, of sexual abuse and trauma. And so we'll do that through interviews, surveys, and also the filming, which we also see as a really valid component of research that basically starts to allow us to observe and witness the experience of survivors.
So for everyone who's listening, you've got an info night happening the 4th of February, the VCA. But for people who are tuning in and maybe would still like to get involved, how can they do so?
So they can contact me through leftrighthook.com. lefthook.wordpress.com, and that's right, as in I'm writing something. So lefthook.wordpress.com, and my contact details are there. We've got a Facebook page, and I'm really happy if people can't make it to the info night to call me and I can have a coffee and talk through the process with them.
This is just for people living in Melbourne or Victoria.
Yeah, it is. And we're looking, obviously, for, you know, as diverse women as we can get, between 18 to 65, no experience of riding or boxing necessary. But also we do want women who are prepared and willing to go on a journey where they will need to potentially tap into some, you know, some stuff about their past and be okay with the filming aspect, because that is something to be considered.
Well, thank you so much for speaking with us for Women on the Line, Donna.
Thank you so much.
On community radio around Australia, you're listening to Women on the Line. You were just listening to Donna Lyon, an academic, writer and boxer, about her project Left Right Hook, designed to help women who have experienced sexual abuse and trauma find a connection to their body, mind and spirit through weekly transformative writing and boxing workshops. Our next guest is Misha Mertz, boxer, writer, and owner of Misha's Boxing Central Gym, discussing her career as a boxer and a writer. Let's hear from Misha.
Hi, I'm Misha Mertz. I'm the owner and coach at Misha's Boxing Central in Footscray. I'm a former journalist. I've written two memoirs about boxing. Now I run the gym full-time, pretty much. I got involved in boxing in the mid-90s. It's actually the subject of my first memoir, so it's quite a kind of convoluted story, but I just started getting into boxing fitness in my late 20s, I guess, when I was sort of interested in sort of improving my health and fitness. And I'd always been interested in boxing, but at the time there were no women boxers around, or not visible on the sort of mainstream media landscape at all. And the assumption was that women couldn't box, and the discussion was, should women box? There were a few around, and gradually I started to get more and more involved with it, and ended up competing for the first time in 1998.
And in terms of, you know, you say that in the 90s, obviously there weren't a lot of women boxers and that sort of thing. What kept you going in that field? And when was a moment that you realized that, yeah, well, you know, women can fight, women can box? And what made you realize that?
Well, I guess I joined Melbourne Uni Boxing Club, and the coach there is, you know, now my husband, Peter. And there were two or three girls who were in that club. So that's when I started sparring. And also, like, this is the advent of the internet as well, the mid-90s. So I started to, you know, do searches for women boxers and discovered that there actually were women fighting in the United States mainly as professional boxers. And it was a kind of growing sport, obviously really growing. And I think there was one website that kind of called the Women's Boxing Archive Network that consolidated all the news around the world about women boxers. And I think that those two things kind of helped the whole sport grow, but also connected me with the idea that actually I could, if I wanted to. And it wasn't until I was sparring and training with a female boxer whose sister was having a fight. This woman who was training her was actually she was a world champion kickboxer and a boxer and just kind of really good, amazing athlete. And her sister was having a first fight and I was sparring her sister. And I thought, if I'm sparring her and she's about to fight, then maybe I should do it. You know, like, I was holding my own with her. I was doing fine. And so that's what prompted me to do it. I think that I thought, as a measure, you know, I wasn't going to get killed, although her sister was good enough probably to kill me. So that's why I sort of hesitated initially. Yeah.
Mm. And yeah, so I guess, like, throughout that time, you know, you got the taste for boxing, but you also kept up the writing, you know, either as a career, but also some of that writing went into your two memoirs as you were boxing as well. Can you maybe talk a bit about if there is any relationship or, you know, some of the transferable skills that are maybe common in boxing as they are in writing?
Well, I guess writing played a role in my boxing in that it helped me process a lot of what was going on. It's a very kind of intense experience, boxing. You know, it's very confronting, and there are a lot of moments where you just sort of feel like you can't keep going with it. So they played off against each other in that respect. But also, you know, you have to be pretty persistent to develop as a writer. Some of the same qualities do apply. You know, there's a lot of rejection as well, you know, when you're trying to get work in media, probably more so now than there was even when I started, where you just have to kind of keep knocking on doors and persisting and writing letters and doing interviews and doing your own thing and taking some initiative. And then in the process of writing a larger piece of work, like a book, it is very similar. You know, I mean, boxing is like any art form, really. So you have to keep refining it. So I come into the gym 20 years later and I still work on refining my skills. I sit at my desk and, you know, one of my favourite things is sort of editing my own work and changing things and improving them, and that's how the two kind of skills are transferable. It's just that boxing is a kind of three-dimensional space and writing is more cerebral.
Women on the Line.
And in some ways, some could argue that, you know, there is also a cerebral part of boxing.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Boxing is a very intellectual sport. I mean, it's very demanding on all aspects of your character, you know. So it's physically demanding, which is obvious, but not so obvious is the mental focus and just kind of thought processes that are required, you know, trying to think on a multitude of levels. So, you know, you might be thinking about your own physical actions, but you'll also be observing your opponent's actions, looking for weaknesses, looking for patterns, and then you'll be thinking tactically, sort of overall, about where your position is in the ring and how you can dominate the other person. And there are various kind of methods of doing that, and so you've got to make choices, you've got to make choices quickly. It's very demanding in that respect. Yeah,
Misha's Boxing Central, I guess it's a place where, you know, people from you know, different gender and sexual identities can come. You know, people are coming here with their kids, with their dogs even, and it's a very welcoming space. Did you go out from the outset to sort of make it that way, or how do you cultivate that, or it all happened accidentally, or is it from your experience, you know, you wanting to demystify some of that masculine energy with boxing?
You know, I haven't gone out to deliberately create it that way, but I'm extremely happy and gratified that it's turned out that way. So, because, you know, it's very sort of heartening to see. In terms of the sort of masculine-feminine stuff, you know, it is a masculine sport. It was, you know, almost exclusively masculine until about 20 years ago. But what a lot of people probably don't realise about boxing is that boxers and people who compete in the sport are actually quite accepting. I mean, it's surprising how much, but in terms of, you know, women entering the sport, the resistance didn't come so much from people who were actually in it, in the gym, you know. So boxing gyms, especially community-style boxing gyms, are very sort of family-like places. And people sort of don't know that because they don't know that about boxing gyms. But I guess this place has taken it a step further in that it's sort of developed that reputation of being in a place where, you know, it doesn't matter who you are, you're accepted here, you know, with the limitation of or the exclusion of people who make others feel uncomfortable. So while it's very open and tolerant, it's not tolerant of people who, you know, just upset that balance. But now I'm much more conscious of it, of it being a kind of comfortable place for almost everybody, because people tell me that almost every day. And you know, I sometimes wonder, you know, what is it that's created that environment? Is it me? Is it somebody else in here? Is it, you know, just luck? Or, you know, I don't know, because sometimes people come to reinforce that idea that, you know, they come because they've heard it's like this, and, you know, they can feel comfortable here, and so they feel comfortable here, and so others feel comfortable here, and it's just a self sort of perpetuating thing that just is greater than the sum of its parts. Like, we don't know what is the, you know, if I wanted to replicate it, how would I do it? I don't know.
And where can people go to find out more information, either about your memoirs or connect with Misha's Boxing Central? Or, you know, we do have some people who are listening and not in Victoria, so if you've got any tips about where to get started in other states as well, that would be great.
Well, Boxing Central is boxingcentral.com.au is the website. If you want to come to the gym, you can sign up there for a free trial class. The gym's in Footscray, so part of the reason for naming it Boxing Central was because not only is boxing central to the gym, but it's a fairly central location for people all over Melbourne. Boxingvictoria.org is a good website to find out or find gyms that are sort of not in that geographical area and to see when the events are on for competition amateur boxing. In terms of interstate, I'm not really sure how to guide people there. My books are, I think you'll just have to Google for my books. I think they're available in some bookshops still. They're available in the gym. I've got a website, mishamertz.com.au, which has some extracts.
Well, thank you so much for speaking with us for Women on the Line, Misha.
No worries. Thank you for having me.
We've come to the end of my conversation with Misha Mertz, boxer, writer, and owner of Misha's Boxing Central Gym, discussing her career as a boxer and writer. Before that, you heard my conversation with Donna Lyon, an academic, writer, and boxer, discussing her project, Left Right Hook, designed to help women who have experienced sexual abuse and trauma find a connection to their body, mind, and spirit through weekly transformative writing and boxing workshops. And that's all for Women on the Line today. Women on the Line is a community radio national women's current affairs program. It's produced and presented by a range of women and non-gender conforming broadcasters from 3CR in Melbourne and broadcast across Australia on the Community Radio Network. We greatly appreciate financial support from the Community Broadcasting Foundation. We welcome your comments or thoughts on today's show, so send us an email to womenontheline@gmail.com or phone 3CR on 03-9419-8377. Women on the Line programs can be downloaded from our website, www.3cr.org.au/womenontheline. The theme music for Women on the Line is Slideshow at Free University by Letigre. I'm Hope Matumbu, and I hope you can tune in again next time.
Decisive.